chapter 6. The siege and the fall of Jericho. One of the historical events in the life of the children of Israel that's been a captivating story as far back as many of us can remember. This was one of the stories we heard in childhood, the fall of Jericho. I'm amazed at the attempt of rationalists to explain from a practical scientific point of view the fall of Jericho. I don't know how you feel, but I think it's one of the most wonderful things in the world to be of that type of mentality that you just believe every word it says about the fall of Jericho. I have no difficulty with that or any other miracle in the Word of God. They're called miracles, but to me, they're not miracles. To me, it's just God doing what He does. And the reason I have no difficulty with any of these miracles, supernatural events, is because I believe the first four words in the Bible. You know what the first four words are? Anybody?
In the beginning, God.
In the beginning, God. If you start with God, you've got no trouble. You have no trouble at all. In the beginning, God. Now, holding your place there at the sixth chapter of Joshua, look for just a moment at Hebrews 11. And verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I turn back there for you to see the words by faith. Now, when we turn back to the sixth chapter of Joshua, I'll show you where the by faith comes in. Now, the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. Twelve men, one from each of the 12 tribes, had taken a large stone out of the river, carried it on their shoulders up halfway between Jordan River and Jericho to a high place called Gilgal, and there they built the monument perpetuating the crossing of the Jordan River. Now Joshua, before the waters came back, had gone in and taken 12 stones and stacked them one on top of the other, so to speak, in the middle of the river, giving two memorials. Now the children of Israel are ready to enter the promised land. They have observed the rite of circumcision, typifying putting away the filth, the sins, disobediences, the established things between themselves and God, so that from a spiritual point of view, they were prepared to enter. They had the observance of the Passover, and now they're ready to move under the leadership of the Lord. So we read here in chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Every door, every window, every opening, the wall was closed. No signs of any activity whatever within the city of Jericho. Now this second verse is that which gives us the by faith of Hebrews 11 and 30. Remembering that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Lord, this is Jehovah, the captain of the Lord's host, said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. God tells Joshua, the city's yours. I've given it to you. Now, the position of the children of Israel at this time is in one way comparable to that of the children of Israel as they stood before the Red Sea prior to the drying up of the Red Sea and crossing over. The impassable river in front, mountains on one side, desert the other side, Pharaoh and his host back of them, hopelessly shut in. Now the children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River, and the flood waters which had been piled in a stack on the north side are released, and the waters are coming down again, approximately a mile wide. They have no city, they have no garrison, nothing but some tents. No way for them to go except on toward Jericho. And they have nothing with which to approach Jericho except the promises of God. In and everything they do of necessity must be by faith. But God has spoken. I have given into thine hand Jericho. It's yours. The kings and the mighty men. Joshua and the children of Israel believed that. And believing that, they moved forward. And that is by faith. The walls of Jericho fell. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Once a day for 6 days, you'll march around the city. We'll read the further instruction in a few moments, but the order is the armed men of war go first. Then the priest. Seven with the trumpets made of ram's horn, followed by the Ark of the Covenant. That then followed by the whole company of the children of Israel. They acted as one, and all of them coming up from Gilgal, circling the city and back. Now we'll read and get specific instructions. Now the importance of these instructions, as we look at them, is to note that God has prescribed and order. And when God prescribes an order, there's to be no deviation. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horn. The 7th day he shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. This shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. The significance of the Ark of the Covenant is that it symbolized the presence of God with them. And as the Ark of the Covenant was in their midst, as a manifestation, the fact that God was with them. You take the Ark of the Covenant. Don't go except the Lord be with thee. I heard a great missionary statesman say on one occasion that it was his deliberate conviction that one of the major problems on the mission field today was so many missionaries going out without the Lord, going on their own, or going on the advice and counsel of the mission board, but not conscious of the presence of the Lord. Then he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now the armed men going first, then the priest, the Ark of the Covenant, and then the multitude, the children of Israel. It came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpet. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, now this is what they do for 6 days, and what they do during 7 marches of the 7th day. It isn't till after they have marched around the city once a day for 6 days and 7 times on the 7th day, it isn't until then that the particular trumpet sound is given, and then the people shout. All the other time, the 6 days and most of the 7th day, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you about, then shall ye shout. The quietness with which the children of Israel moved as they obeyed the Lord. I've had a number of people ask me of late of my thoughts or conviction on applause and shouts and yells in the service of the Lord. So far, I've never cared for it. Apostle Paul said, let everything be done in decency and order. I have had, I'm thinking of 2 people in my pastorate of 40-some-odd years, 2 people that shouted. In my second pastorate, there was a lady sat on about next to the front seat right down in front of me, and about midway of the sermon, she'd get up and start shouting and carrying on every Sunday. And it's the same thing over and over. I prayed about that. So one Sunday, I was preaching, I saw her begin to stir around like a hen in her nest. She's getting ready to take off. And she started up. I just said, "Sit down, please." She sat down. That's the end of it. Never again. There was a man broke loose one night in the service where I was preaching, shouting, and I didn't feel like saying a word, didn't I? To let him go. He was crying tears of joy and happiness. Just let him go. But someone was telling me about a service recently, somewhere here in town, where everybody got to praising the Lord, and they all got to hollering, and all got to yelling, and said, "We had such a good time. The preacher didn't even have to preach. They just all hollering and shouting and carrying on." You know. Well, there's a time and a place to praise the Lord. But here, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until I command you to." Of course, anything I have to say about conduct in worship service, I'm sure you appreciate the fact it's conditioned by as the Lord leads you. I don't want anybody to refuse to do the will of the Lord because of something I might say. But today, many people think services can be judged by three ends. Not three M's, but three ends. Noses. How many are there? Nickels. How much to take in? And noise. How loud did they get? Noses, nickels, and noise. That seems to be the order of the day for many worship services. But here is to be quiet. The Lord is working. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Joshua the leader, rising early in the morning. That takes you back to the manna. That looks forward to the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when he arose a great while before day and went out and gave himself to prayer. Many and beautiful are the experiences of individuals and groups who have arisen early in the morning to give themselves to prayer. Joshua rose early in the morning. The animation, I think, is clear. He was up before any of them. The seven priests banged the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually, blew with the trumpets. These seven did. The armed men went before them, but the rear came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Came to pass on the seventh day. Now, this is something, isn't it? Many people get disturbed by the fact that they marched around the city once a day for 6 days. Why did the Lord command that? Why did the Lord demand that? I don't know. But he did. And when the Lord speaks, man has but to obey. Today, many people think that concerning many of the Lord's commandments. But the Lord told them, march around the city once a day for 6 days. I think what he's after here is testing their obedience of faith. The Lord told them to do it, and they did it. No rhyme, no reason. I don't think as many that the great shout of the people produced vibrations which caused the walls to disintegrate and fall. I don't think it has anything in the world to do with it. I think they fell under the power of God. And I don't think the marching around in an orderly fashion once a day for 6 days weaken the foundation, make it easy for the wall to fall. God told them to do something, and he wanted them to obey. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why did he tell them that? Gave them an alternative. To obey or to disobey. Here they can obey or disobey. But they're caught in a difficult place now. And there's nothing for them to do except to obey. They're shut up to help from God and God alone. You remember when Ezra, getting ready to go back, or Nehemiah it was, go back to Jerusalem. He told the king they didn't need any help. Their God would take care of them. He talked so much about his God and his faith in God that finally he had to do what he said he could do and had to go back without any military aid or help, whatever. And the Lord blessed him and saw him through. And now the children of Israel, there's nothing they can do but go forward. And the only way they can go forward is under the leadership of the Lord. And the only way they can have the leadership of the Lord is to do what he says. So for 6 days do that. Then in 16th verse, came to pass at the seventh time, here are the 15th verse, on the seventh day, they arose early, about the dawning of the day. All of them arise. They've got quite a day ahead of them. They've got to march around that city 7 times. 7 times. I heard an Indian preacher speaking in a church where I was pastor. This was an American Indian. And talking about some things. He's talking about failure of the disciples to cast out a certain demon. And when the disciples asked the Lord why they couldn't cast him out, our Lord said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. There are times when you can ask the Lord for something and you get it even before you ask. Other times you get it when you ask. Other times just after you ask. There come times in your life, I'm sure, as there have been in mine, where you ask again and again and again. And this Indian said, just as in this instance, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting, he said, there came a day when the children of Israel had to march around the city of Jericho 7 times. And there'll come days when you have to pray again and again and again. They all of them rose early. It came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with their trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. More instructions. Failure to obey is occasion of sorrow and tragedy, of which we'll read in the seventh chapter. But in the 17th verse, the city shall be accursed, literally devoted. The city shall be devoted to me, and anybody who does contrary shall be accursed. And all that are therein, to the Lord, devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Leave these things alone which God hath devoted to himself. This is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Everything in the city of Jericho was devoted to the Lord. Except Rahab and those in her house. Every man, woman, child, babe, every head of livestock, fowl, beast, slain. They were slain. Every one in the fall. There in the city, and then the people moved in to destroy them. Now, you just leave these things that are devoted to me alone. Saul went out against King Agag and the Moabites with a command from God through Samuel that he was to slay every living creature, human and beast and fowl, everyone. That's the command God gave. The victor came to Saul, and when he returned, they went out to meet him, and Samuel was in the group and went out to meet him, and Saul came in and said, all that the Lord hath commanded, I've done. Samuel said, what meaneth the lowing of the cattle, the blading of the sheep? I hear cattle lowing and I hear sheep blading. Well, he said, I kept the best to bring for sacrifice. And he said, what God wants is not sacrifice, but obedience. And then Samuel saw Agag the king tied to Saul's chariot. Samuel grabbed a sword, cut him to pieces. But the point I'm making is, Saul spared some of the people of Agag's kingdom. He didn't slay them all. Now, a little later on, in the court of Ahasuerus, there was a man got the king to issue a decree that every Jew in the world should be executed. And it was a girl who had become queen, succeeding Vashti. The cattle, the blading of the sheep. I hear cattle lowing and I hear sheep blading. Oh, he said, I kept the best to bring for sacrifice. And he said, what God wants is not sacrifice, but obedience. And then Samuel saw Agag the king tied to Saul's chariot. Samuel grabbed a sword, cut him to pieces. But the point I'm making is, Saul spared some of the people of Agag's kingdom. He didn't slay them all. Now, a little later on, in the court of Ahasuerus, there was a man got the king to issue a decree that every Jew in the world should be executed. And it was a girl who had become queen, succeeding Vashti, who saved the day. Her name was Esther. What was the name of this man that got this decree issued to execute every Jew in the world? Anybody know? You're getting close. Haman. And he was an Agagite. He was a descendant of those that Saul spared. You see what happened there just through this one man's disobedience? He was an Agagite. Haman. Now, everything out there was devoted to God, and Saul kept some of it. Well, when he came marching back with Agag in his train, the king, and all these fine cattle and sheep and everything. Oh, look at Saul, look at Saul. Yeah. Samuel delivered the ultimatum from the Lord. Because of this, thou art rejected as king of Israel. Rejected. All right. Look, verse 18. Ye in any wise keep yourselves from these devoted things, lest you make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver, gold, vessel of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasure of the Lord. Fasten your seat belts. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is devoted to the Lord. I learned that when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I've never forgotten it. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. That's what God told them to do. And Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. The young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. They brought out all of her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They're Gentiles. At this time, they're unclean. They're outside the camp of Israel right now. Well, they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver, the gold, the vessel, the brass, and of iron, they put in the treasure of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, her father's household, all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Among the rabbis and the other, there's a tradition that persists until today. The old rabbis, as far back as you go, contend that Joshua married Rahab. And they won't have it any other way. That's a strictly tradition, though. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, that is, Joshua made them give an oath. He adjured them. I adjure thee by the living God. You remember when our Lord refused to answer the questions of the high priest? In a fit of anger, he said, I adjure thee by the living God, you tell me, whether thou art the king of the Jews. He put Jesus Christ under an oath involving the honor of God, and when he did that, Jesus answered. He only answered when something like that happened or when they questioned him concerning his deity, concerning the honor of God. Now, Joshua said, I adjure thee, I put you under oath, every one of you, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. This curse shall rest upon any man that buildeth this city of Jericho back. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn. The man who tries to build back this city of Jericho will have his firstborn slain. And in effect, he'll be laying the foundation of the city in the blood and body of his firstborn son. Not only that, when he finishes the building of it and then sets the gates up, he's going to set the gates in his youngest son. He'll die too. And figuratively speaking, the gates will rest in his younger son. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. One very pertinent lesson you and I can take home with us out of this chapter is this. Let's be very meticulous in our obedience to the commands and to the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And the walls came tumbling down. Father, bless this meditation. We pause to thank thee for that faith which has come to the most of us, if not all of us, from childhood, wherein we learn that our mother, our father, our Sunday school teacher, somewhere back there, we learned to believe what the Bible says. We thank thee, Lord, for this glorious book and for that simple childlike faith that thou hast given us to believe it just because thou hast said so. May the example of the children of Israel, Joshua, in strict obedience to thy commands and thy blessing upon them, be an inspiration to every one of us. Once again, we ask thy particular interest in and blessings upon all for whom prayer has been requested tonight. Lord, hear our prayers. Answer them to thine honor and glory, we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.